And now for reading and writing and radio.
When the ice storm came up, we had some dry wood in the house, but not enough. So I went out in the garage and got some old wooden toys that we didn't use and burnt them. After a while, my grandpa said, "He had better go before your dad burns my wooden leg."
The author of that ice storm experience is Darren Heinisch, fifth grade at Thayer Elementary. But it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Last spring here in Springfield, Illinois, and the surrounding area, we had a horrendous ice storm. At that time, we asked kids and adults to write us in about the ice storm, and today we'd like to talk about our experiences in the ice storm, and I have with me my daughter Jillian Jackson and my friend Gail Fisher. And all three of us survived the ice storm, and let's talk about it a little, because we had two different angles on it. Jill, what was the highlight of the ice storm for you, or explain the situation that we were in?
Well, we had no phones, but we were one of the fortunate few that had our electricity almost the whole time. And so we didn't have the camping out stories or the going to the emergency shelter stuff, but what happened with us was that all our friends started moving in. And, oh, you have electricity, you know, can I spend the night? And, oh, your freezer works, can we put everything in your freezer? So we spent the whole time just about with constant company. It was rather pleasant on our side.
Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed the ice storm because we had all the fun without any of the inconveniences except the telephone. We had
except
no telephone.
And of course, the television stations and the radio stations quit broadcasting. But
I found that quite a relief. We didn't have the TV, we didn't have the radio, and especially we didn't have the telephone. And the telephone didn't ring for 2 weeks. And I had the very comfortable feeling that because nobody could get in touch with me, nobody wanted to get in touch with me. And so I just sort of went serenely along, and anybody that did want to get in touch with me had to write a letter or send word by some other way. Gail, what was it like at your house during the ice storm?
Well, we have an old house, and we have storm windows and storm door, but that's about the only saving factor because we had a gas furnace, but the only thing was it took an electric current to turn on the gas.
Now, yours was one of the sections of town that had no heat or light, no electricity at all, no power.
Yeah, and we have this big lot next door and all these real old ancient trees, and we have ancient trees in the back of our house, and of course they're all shedding their branches and beginning to look like little sticks and everything. And so we had a phone for a while. Well, we had a phone all the time, but we were afraid that it was going to fall because this great big huge branch fell right on top of the line, and it was sort of hanging there perilously, you know,
snap the line any moment.
Yeah, so we were quick calling everybody, you know, and my stepfather lives in Washington, D.C. temporarily, so he wasn't home, and it was just my mother and I, and my mother can't cope with emergency situations too well, so she was just having fits all over the place. And
you were the one that was coping?
Yeah, I was doing the coping while she was having the fits. But, of course, our refrigerator went off, and we so what I got, we have some, we camp out a lot, so I got the ice chests, and there was plenty of ice out, so I went outside and put ice in them, and I put all the stuff from the ice box in the freezer in the ice chest, and my mother, the top of our gas stove worked, so she cooked on that, so we had at least hot food, you know, to eat, and just cleared the branches out of the street, and that was about as best as I could do the whole time.
Well, the city looked like a tornado had hit it, not the houses, but the trees. The houses were all intact, but it looked like a tornado had hit the trees, and of course the surrounding countryside, it wasn't just Springfield. Telephone poles went down by the domino principle, so there would be mile after mile, you know, 15, 20 miles without a telephone pole standing. And it happened to be Easter Sunday weekend. The storm started on the
Friday.
On Good Friday and continued on Saturday and I guess quit on Sunday. So that the world was an icy wonder.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Terrible and beautiful.
What I was doing that morning, I woke up and I slept in that day because of vacation, you know. And I slept in and I woke up because there was some loud, huge noise that had woken me up, and I didn't know exactly what it was. So I looked out and back because we have these ladders leaning against the house, and I thought maybe one of them had fallen because I noticed it was windy. And it was still up, and I couldn't imagine what had happened. So I went downstairs, and I ate breakfast, and I looked out the window as I was washing the dishes, and there was this, you know, it was about 5 feet around or across the middle diameter of a tree branch thing that had just, you know, fallen a couple inches from the house, and that's what had wakened me up, and all these other branches, just right when I noticed that, when all these other ones just started coming down and falling, and I was just horrified because, you know, up until I looked out the window, everything had been okay to me, just, you know, another day with some rain, and my mother called up, and she says, "Do you have any electricity?" And I said, "Yes," and then just as I hung up,
it went out?
Yes.
Well, the sound of the branches falling, the people that lived near the parks, every couple of seconds, a big crack as another branch would go down. And it would sound, you know, like an avalanche because not only the branch, but all the ice that was on it. So even the little branches sounded like a whole tree was coming down.
It was,
and then, of course, the sound carries more.
Yeah.
The sound is
when
sharper.
When it's silenced out, too.
And when it's icy out.
It was
the ice doesn't absorb sound very well. It just bounces all over the place.
At night, it was terrifying because we, you know, no lights, and there are no lights on the block. And you don't know darkness, and it's you don't know what's going on outside, and you just sit in the room. Well, what we did was we jump into bed as soon as we could, you know, because it was warm, get the sheets warm and everything, and we had all our cats on the bed and everything trying to get warm. And
a three-dog night, a four-dog night.
It was terrible. And the darkness just, you know.
I found the darkness was marvelous because we so rarely see complete, total darkness. And our side of the town had some light. We were lucky. Mm-hmm. But I had to drive over into your section of the town. And when I got over there, it was very eerie because you could see the stars. And over our city, we can't see the stars. There's too much glow in the sky.
Uh-huh.
And everything was dark. It was like you were not even out in the country because, you know, my folks live in the country and there are lights out in the country. But to have darkness was a tremendous experience. And I found that I really liked it. It made you feel you didn't, huh?
And the few people that drove during it, I was in a car a couple times and people were extremely courteous on the road. It was, for starters, you had to drive slow because everything was icy, but when you came up to these monstrous intersections and no lights were working, just everyone was very careful to...
Yes, the street lights, the stop-and-go lights. You had to stop at every corner and let people pass and so forth.
It was like a four-way stop on every corner.
Well, we got in lots of writing of various people's experiences, and we won't be able to read everybody, and I think I'll omit names and just give one-liners out of various papers of some of the observations of the ice storm. One student said that it seemed like a swamp driving because you had to wind this way and that way, and there was so much debris in the streets. And it was like dry, like going through a swamp in a boat. And I thought, that's right, I've been in that kind of swamp.
Yeah, me too.
And another person said it seemed like a gigantic ice bulb, light bulb had broken, which was all the ice down. Let me read a few of these, and I'll toss a few your way to read. I had my birthday in the dark. I put my finger in the cake, and I cut the cake wrong.
That would have been terrible. To have your birthday and then all the electricity's out and you're freezing cold. And
my mom had all these plants huddled together and covered up with a sheet.
Yes.
My grandma said, come over to our house, so we did. But my mom brought all of our plants with us. My grandma's house was full of flowers. It was terrible.
That's what we did. We had them all under saran wrap and everything. Well, I put them there because my mother was freaking out about her plants. So she just stands there and says, oh, the plants are going to die. The plants are going to die. She doesn't do anything. So
the same day, my mom bought $70 worth of groceries, and most of it was meat. And she brought 2 gallons of milk. And by the time the storm was over and we got our electricity back, all the food was spoiled except for what we ate. There are many eating stories. People gained weight during the ice storm. Do you know why?
You had to eat up everything that was frozen.
And also,
or
there
that
wasn't
was refrigerated, because frozen you could just stick outside in the ice.
Well, for the people that got their electricity back after a couple of days, but some people didn't get it back for 8 or 9 days, and then the weather got warm. You see,
but I believe that probably didn't know what to do with the ice was melting.
A lot of people also didn't have anything else to do, and so when nothing else to do, eat.
Yeah,
and so people ate. This whole business of what to do, I'm looking for the sheet of paper of the kid that said things were terrible because, here it is. It was a very bad, stormy day. I hated it. There wasn't anything to do. The telephone went dead and the television wouldn't work. I just sat around all day. Finally, our electricity came back on and it never went off again. I really am glad because I wouldn't ever have anything to do without the TV on. Now, what I found from some of these papers, Gail and Jill, is that people began to find things to do after the TV was gone. Can you guess what people did? Well, what did you do at your house without the... Of course, I know you don't watch the TV that much anyway.
Well...
But by candlelight. What did you do by candlelight?
Well, at night we read a little bit, and I cleared off branches from the street mostly, and just, you know, that's about all we did during the ice storm, was clear off branches away from the house and out of the street and everything.
And at night you went to bed when it was dark, like in the olden times.
Yeah.
When it got dark, people went to bed. Here's one. We all went in Mom's room, and Mom started telling ghost stories. I was scared. First I was asleep, and I heard her say, look at that man in the other room. I woke up. So that here's a family that told ghost stories. Here's a kid. Me and Todd would jump on the couch, and Rodney, Troy, Phil, Gary, Dave would beat us up, and Troy got killed about every time, and I was hiding under the table. And then my mom said, stop, but when she went to bed, we went on killing each other some more. So they found something to do. Gary Du Bois of Verdon says, my grandpa shot the ice off his antenna with a shotgun. And Joe from Verdon says, we went outside to get some ice so my mom could boil it and wash dishes.
Oh.
Because some places didn't have water.
If you're not on the municipal system and your pump doesn't work, you can't get the water out of the well.
Oh, my gosh. We had water, thank God.
Yeah.
When the lights went out at our house,
we
had to go by candlelight. My dad and I were entertaining everybody. We were making hand puppets on the wall. I guess she means shadow puppets.
Shadow puppets, yeah.
So she found something to do. And here's one. When the ice storm was going on, we didn't have nothing to do, so by candlelight we said the rosary. So there's putting your time to good advantage. It was on Easter that there wasn't any power, and I think that the thing I will always remember about the ice storm was the Easter Sunday service. That we all went dressed not as warmly as we should have, but the church was cold, and there weren't any lights in it except the candles up front, and there wasn't any...
And they had loaded it with candles.
They'd loaded it with candles so that it was beautiful, And then the organ didn't work, and they weren't going to have any singing. And when I heard there wasn't going to be have any singing, I dashed back and I said to our priest before things began, I said, "Oh, we want singing. We'll sing up a storm." And so we went ahead.
No, you
want
to sing down the storm.
Sing down the storm. So we sang, and the congregation sang like it had never sung before because there wasn't any organ to sort of drown us out, and it was either us or nothing. And we all enjoyed the singing so much was after the service at the coffee hour, and they'd found somewhere a gas ring to make some coffee, why we brought the hymnals in, and everybody went on singing. And it was just a marvelous time of singing. I vote that once a month we don't have any organ so that everybody can sing without it. I've got some rather long stories here, and I'd like to share a few of them with you from some of the adults that wrote in about it. Here's Therese Clark from Taylorville. "My parents called to see if we had electricity because they did not. They were cold and were going to bed. I told them to come to our house, but they declined. The next morning, we discovered our power had gone off about 2 o'clock, and we were all cold. I looked out the window at an ice-glazed world. The boys folded their newspapers while I laid a fire in the fireplace and then drove the boys on their routes. Before we could leave, however, huge tree branches had to be removed from our driveway. The tops of both large trees on the boulevard had broken off and crashed to the ground. One was sticking straight up, impaled in the front yard. Twigs, limbs, branches, and whole trees were down all over the paper route. We would drive down half a block, swerving in and out to miss the debris in the street. Then a downed tree would make it necessary to backtrack and enter the other half from another direction. Branches were cracking and dropping all around us. Wires were down, and we didn't know if they were telephone wires or electric, but we kept our distance from all. One TV antenna had bent over, following the shape of the house roof, and hung over the other side. Paper route finished, I put the car in the garage and said it would not go out again. We took quick inventory, and the boys got out on foot to the grocery store for batteries for the lanterns and radio, and also for bread and milk. And a lot of people have grocery store stories where they would go with flashlights to get things off the shelves.
The grocery stores must have had a rough time. Their freezers wouldn't be working either.
Well, that's true, I suppose. If they didn't have any lights and people wouldn't want the frozen food, they would want the food that they could eat right
off.
Well,
maybe not, because the frozen dinners, sometimes you can, you know, occasionally some of those frozen dinners, if people didn't have if they had a gas stove, they could heat it up, the frozen
dinners. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Therese goes on, and I'll skip some of it. "It was a great adventure and fun at the beginning. We roasted hot dogs for lunch. One side of the fireplace had coal, so I was even able to make coffee. Later, I bought browned hamburger and made spaghetti sauce for supper. While we had daylight, we set up card tables. Mom, Dad, and I taught Tracy to play bridge. 4 others played spades. The 2 boys would go to the basement and shoot pool until they got too cold. Then they'd come back to the fireplace. The radio went continually, keeping us abreast of the progress of the power restoration. Spaghetti sauce simmered all day in front of the fire, giving off a mouth-watering aroma. Cooking the spaghetti was not so easy. In fact, it was a starchy mess and had to be thrown out. So 10 hungry people were introduced to a new gourmet entree, spaghetti sauce on bread, and all ate heartily. 10 people have meanwhile come. Various people from other towns showed up, and the grandparents did come. And one kid wrote in that our house was wall-to-wall people because they had power. But here is going to bed at Teresa's house. Mom, Dad, and I decided to brave the cold bedroom and my king-sized bed. I think probably all 3 slept in it. The other 7 piled into sleeping bags, blankets, and pillows as close to the heat as they could get. Dad, who had been wearing his full-length hooded robe all day, pulled the hood up over his head, walked slowly through the bodies on the floor toward the bedroom. As he went, he waved his hand in the air, making a cross. 'Bless you, my children,' he said." I'd love to read all of Teresa's. Here's some of Joan Meyer's. And several of you kids have written in on this same problem. Let's see. Oh, she stood by the toaster waiting for the toast to come up so that they could have their cold cuts on toast, and after a little while realized, you dummy, you know, the toaster isn't working either. Let's see. Finally, the coffee made my bladder began over-functioning, and I did one of the hardest things I had done all day. I sat down on the cold toilet seat. First I screamed and then wished I was a man who could relieve himself without sitting down. It was such a shock, I had difficulty convincing my bladder to function at that moment. And I know that the icy cold toilet seat was something that that bothered a lot of people. And later in her essay, Joan says, this is where you realize, oh, she says that that a country wouldn't need to have bombs and things. All they'd have to do, a thought occurred to me, how easy it would be to win a war without ever firing a shot or dropping a bomb, take over the utilities and tell people they couldn't have them back until they surrendered. Easy, and the government would be spared all that defense money and could spend it on something else dumb or give it back to the taxpayers. And then she says later on in her story, this is when you realize what an equalizer loss of power and water is. The few people who attended the First Presbyterian Church on Easter Sunday were just as grubby as their neighbors. They had on their old winter clothes, and the women had on hats. The processional entering the church to Christ the Lord is risen today and is so moving did not occur, but something even greater happened. As the minister and the choir walked through the back doors, the lights came on, and a loud smile echoed through the chilly church. It aroused as much emotion or more than the processional. And lots of people said that it seemed like, you know, as if God had suddenly come back when the lights went on all over this area. Well, I know that Wisconsin classrooms listen to this program, too, and I know that a couple of years ago, Wisconsin had a very disastrous ice storm that hit the middle of the state, the northern part. I happened to be up in the northern part at that time, and it was a rainstorm, but it wasn't an ice storm. But the whole Madison area got hit by an ice storm, and I think southern Wisconsin didn't, the very south part didn't get hit as bad, but Wisconsin has had a disastrous ice storm like we had. And so our writing for today is going to be on survival in difficult times. When has your life been changed? If only for a while, like having the TV go off for many days, as it did here. You may not have had an ice storm as a disaster, but you've had something else happen that you've had to cope with.
Sure, this is tornado country here.
We've had
sure lots of folks have tornado stories.
And those take coping. One of the stories that came in here was for the ice storm was having to move into the police station. I think it was in one of the small towns nearby where a whole lot of people brought their blankets and things and moved into the police station. Here in Springfield, we had the armory and two high school gyms where people moved in. One of the stories that I particularly like is we live across the street from Gateway House, which is a center for rehabilitating people who have been on dope. And the people at Gateway House carried meals to the elderly people in the high-rise apartments, 14 stories and 16 stories high, that didn't have any lights or heat or elevator. And so for 7 or 8 days, the Gateway people carried 3 meals a day up to the top of these various buildings and saw to it that all these old people had things to eat.
That's nice.
So there's a coping story, too. And I know that with tornado stories and so forth, that there are all sorts of coping stories, how we survived. Well, what were some of the values of the ice storm? I know that we've heard people say that there were values.
Well, I think people tended to get together more. You'd much rather be with someone to go through that. And like we had all these people come and start camping out with us. And from Teresa's story, she had all kind. Even though they didn't have electricity either, you'd rather be with people and not be quite as alone as one can be when you have all your utilities.
We sort of tend to be isolated, don't we? We stay apart in our families, and we all have our own washing machines and so forth. But if there's one washing machine on the block, everybody will come and, you know, we'll have a washing party.
Yeah. But we've eliminated all of those, and
so many
the ice storm made us go back.
And people began talking to each other. When there wasn't the TV and there wasn't the radio, they found that they were talking to each other and telling stories and being like back in the olden days. Several of them said they felt like the Little House on the Prairie. And another paper, several papers came in talking about how people shared. They would bring their food and cook up their food and say, we have to use it up. And so they got to know their neighbors because they were all busy sharing and helping each other in their extremity.
Mm-hmm.
So what we'd like you all to do for our writing for today is tell us, if you went through the ice storm, how did you cope? Give us the interesting details, the cold toilet seats and the shooting the ice off the antenna, rather than just the sort of general, you know, we were cold. Tell us what you did to entertain yourself. And if you didn't go through an ice storm, tell us of another time when you had to cope with your life changing and being different for a while, and maybe for a long while, maybe it never was quite the same again, on account of some
natural disaster.
Some natural disaster, yes, that's it.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.